On formal probation for an act which would be a crime if committed by an adult, or is on parole from one of those facilities. And my understanding is that up till now there hasn't been the capacity to use detention for these kids. The remainder of 3345, I don't believe there was any opposing testimony.
I don't think there was.
And so the object is to create really backup support for community correction services for mm-hmm. juveniles.
I'll just make a comment that the juvenile bills that have been submitted to this committee have been, I have referred those to Representative Bauman, and those of you that are involved directly are aware of this, and that Representative Bauman has been the one that's been integrally involved in taking the bills that were publicly heard and making recommendations to this committee. And this bill is the first recommendation that we have.
In addition, thanks, that's accurate, Mr. Chair. In addition, there is that change that Council noted on page 1, line 24 of the bill.
The purpose of which is?
What was the purpose?
Well, Council? It was kind of just a, not really an offhand remark. I believe it was Don Welsh. Is that from the Judges Juvenile Justice Coalition? Is that the name? Apparently, was it the Juvenile Rights? Angela, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. I thought he had indicated that preventive measures was a more acceptable term than sanctions in that particular part of the bill.
Right.
And that editorial mark means sanctions will be deleted?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
Representative Bauman.
Well, I don't know if there's no more discussion. Mr. Chair, I would make a motion that House Bill 33...
Well, you want to
first, I move the amendments.
Representative Bauman moves the dash one amendments dated April 27th, along with the hand engrossed amendment on line 24, page one. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Judy?
I move House Bill 3345 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Is there a discussion? Hearing none.
Call the roll.
Bauman?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Representative Bauman, will you carry that, and I will take care of 3188 to the full committee.
Great.
3013 is the next bill. Council, can you re-remind us of what it is?
Okay, House Bill 3013 allows the juvenile court to place requirements on CSD when they're placing a child in agency custody. It allows the court, in reviewing the placement by CSD, to order different placement. We have one set of amendments to the bill. These amendments clarify that the court cannot order specific named programs or placement, rather they can specify a specific type of placement. It also provides that CSD is responsible for the actual planning and the provision of care and services to these children. There's also an amendment that provides that private agencies can refuse to accept a child. I mean, a child can't be forced into some agency.
Yeah. Council, let me just ask this. The amendments are what form?
There, in the upper right-hand corner, it should be Juvenile Rights Project.
Dated March 30th?
Yes.
And there's that's two pages?
Yes, the one is the amendments and the other is just a hand engrossed, shows how they fit into the bill itself.
Representative Bauman.
The purpose of the bill is to establish some accountability to the court from Children's Services Division in terms of their continued treatment of children who are under the care of CSD. Who continue to be under the jurisdiction of the court. The object is, I think, a very similar object to the one that that was advocated on the floor with citizen review boards. The point is, in addition to accountability, it has something to do with the community standard for care, which a judge being placed there by the community is in a good position to monitor. Also is was advocated by Judge Harrell, is consistent with a report setting forth some recommendations on ways for judges to better respond to the needs of these children. I'm a little bit uncomfortable. Well, I'm not uncomfortable. I think the committee is aware that I have a real involvement in the bill based on some of my experience with juvenile court, and I think it's going to be a real healthy addition to the way we can address not only these kids, but some problems that seem to be cropping up in terms of perceptions of the way Children's Services Division deals with them. If there are no questions, I'm going to move the amendments. The chair will accept my motion.
Representative Bauman moves the amendments that are dated March 30th and labeled Juvenile Rights Project, House Bill 3013, and the attached page to that. Pages of amendments. Is there a discussion of those amendments? I'll discuss it. As I recall, that CSD brought up the objection that the court would not be, it would be improper for the court to take over the actual planning and provision of such care, and that was a major objection of CSD's, and that's spoken to in these amendments, so that the court doesn't have that jurisdiction. Is there further discussion of these amendments? Is there objection to the amendments? Hearing none, so ordered. Representative Bauman.
I move House Bill 3013 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
And I'll place that motion. Is there further discussion of that motion?
Aye.
Bellamy?
Aye.
Dix?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Hanlon?
Aye. Motion is adopted. Representative Bauman, will you carry that bill?
Yes.
Next bill is 3197. Counsel, can you re-remind us of the original bill and review that for us?
Okay, 3197, the original bill, modifies the right of a non-parent to petition the court for visitation, custody, or other parental rights when the non-parent has established a child-parent relationship with the child. It expands. We adopted, I think it was the -1 amendments to the bill, which expanded the definition of child-parent relationship. Excuse me. And then the amendments that we have before us all deal with the grandparents' visitation rights.
Let me ask this. Did we originally, have we adopted amendments to 3197 in regard to the original bill?
Yes.
And what dash numbers are those?
Well, let me just sort of quickly dig through here.
Okay.
I believe it's the dash one amendments, but let me, yes. 3197-1 dated April 1st. We adopted these amendments as amended. Because on page 3 of those amendments...
Hang on, we've got to find them ourselves.
Okay.
We adopted them at work session 31197-1.
Correct.
Okay.
On the very last page, on page 3 of those amendments, it says, however, a relationship between a child and a person who is the foster parent of the child is not a child-parent relationship under this section unless the relationship continues over a period exceeding 2, and we amended that to delete the 2 and make it 3 years.
Okay.
So those were the amendments that we did adopt.
So those amendments specifically pertain to RS 109-119.
Right.
And amend it substantially, and that's the same section of the ORS that was originally in the bill.
Yes.
And it deals with the physical custodian, parents, the sibling. Well, wait a minute. What class does it deal? I'm trying to get the word of what class we're talking about when we're talking about custody, guardianship, and visitation matters.
I don't think I understand. I mean, these are...
Is that limited to foster parent, step-parent, grandparent, or relative by blood or marriage?
No.
What other class does this section 1 of 109-119 speak to?
Well, I mean, it deals with anybody who has established this child-parent relationship and they have, you know, brought in the physical custodian's language.
And so it includes all of the ones that I've named and anyone else that would have physical custody and anyone else that would have...
Well, it's not merely physical custody. In subsection 6, which begins in the bottom of page 2 of the amendments, it defines child-parent relationship. It sets out what needs to be there for this person to have standing to petition.
And all of the provisions of what is defined as child-parent relationship.
Yes.
And what does this do? What rights does it give to these people? It's a wide, wide class.
Right. I mean, it allows them to petition or to intervene in a situation where the juvenile court already has custody jurisdiction, I believe. It allows them to just put evidence before the court as far as the child's situation so that the court is better educated and can make a better decision regarding the visitation, custody, those decisions. It also, I mean, the bill itself and the amendments clarify that these parties can intervene in a marital dissolution proceeding. There was some ambiguity about that in the statute originally. It also allows the court to grant a temporary order pending the outcome, which was not allowed before.
And what would this also speak to the situation where those people were petitioning or wanted the custody themselves?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And under what circumstances? I guess I'm trying to re-review this and fit it together with the grandparents part of the bill. Under what circumstances do they have the right to come to court?
These non-parents, you mean in this
yes.
original part? If the juvenile court, let me just look through this real quickly so that I don't. If the court has jurisdiction over the custody, placement, guardianship, or wardship, they can petition, they can intervene. Also, let me check. I don't believe, they can intervene during a dissolution proceeding.
It opens up the courts a lot.
Yeah, it does.
To others than the natural parents.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And we've already adopted that, so that's
yes.
part of the bill.
Right.
Let's continue on. You have some correspondence today from Representative Campbell. And we have amendments on 3197 that relates to the additional amendment to House Bill 3197.
Mm-hmm. Right, the latest amendment is 3197-6.
Committee will remember the testimony that we had concerning this issue and the amendments we had before us earlier. I've asked that 3197-6 be prepared, and let me just point out what 3197-6 does. There was some concern that an earlier amendment would have required that grandparents establish ongoing personal contact when it was impossible, because that was the contact that they were being denied by the parent. So if you look at dash 6, look at line 19, in order to acquire the rights to be granted an order on reasonable right of visitation, the grandparent has the right to be in court if the grandparent has established or has attempted to establish ongoing personal contacts with the child. I requested that additional language in order to deal with that concern that the grandparents had. We also had a request that we delete, and I believe it was in all of the amendments, that we delete, look at dash 6, we delete page 4, line 16, the line that grandparent does not include a step-grandparent. The chair is not, well, I think I didn't delete it in this proposed amendment, but let me put the issue on the table. The chair will move 3197-6 and place that motion and open it up for discussion, and just add the last sentence I was going to add. I think when we're dealing with grandparent visitation rights, that we ought to take the issue very slowly in regard to how wide the courts are open on this issue and how we may be putting these cases into the court. At this point in time, the chair is not willing to support step-grandparents as a part of the grandparents' visitation amendment. But the motion is before us to adopt dash 6. Representative Dix.
It was never clear to me that indeed Representative Campbell supported the inclusion of step-grandparents. In fact, if I remember correctly, wasn't on the record in the conversation, I believe he had some question as to whether or not step-grandparents should be in the bill at this point.
And his amendments did not exclude that portion.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Bellamy.
Now, this is in regards to the dash 6 amendments.
Right.
Mr. Chair, it would be it would be my wishes to adopt a set of amendments that, number one, would leave in the statement that a grandparent does not include a step-grandparent. I'm just not willing to go that step. But
and that is included in 6.
Right. But on page 1, after giving it a lot of thought, I would like to see lines 19 and 20 taken out of the bill. Now, I have not been the strongest supporter of this measure, the grandparents' rights, because of the jockeying that can happen to a child. But I guess, on the other hand, if we've got restrictions in here that, you know, they petitioned the court and they had to have not done this during the divorce process and so forth and so forth, I guess I'm at the point of saying that maybe we ought to leave it up to the judge. And when you do say establish an ongoing personal contact, you do leave some loopholes. Number one, maybe there was never a chance to establish that contact. Or
Representative Bellamy, I just wanted to point out that that's why in this draft I have added the words or has attempted to, specifically for that concern. If you look at page 19, that's the reason that I had the new amendment drafted to deal with that concern. But in any case,
well, I guess then it does eliminate the if an individual moves up here from another state and wants to establish contract, has never been able to and now wants to, I guess where I'm coming to is that if we're going to allow the grandparents to petition the court, maybe we ought to just leave the judgment up to the court. Now, I started out thinking the other day that I was going to try to write some amendments, and like everybody else's time here, you're just running out of it. And the argument that I finally come down within myself is to say that maybe we're being too restrictive. Maybe since we've said they've had to petition the court, they could not have done it during the divorce process.
No, they can.
They can, but there is a restriction there. If they do it during the divorce process, they can't petition later on, right?
Right.
Okay. So we've got some restrictions in there. I guess I'm not willing to put in that additional restriction.
Then, Representative Bellamy, are you placing a motion to amend the present motion by deleting lines 19 and 20, the effect? Would you like me to place that motion?
If there's more than one vote for it, yes. I guess I'm wanting to know the feelings of the committee. I would like to see the bill moved regardless of that particular section. So I will move that particular section in the full committee.
Mr. Chair.
So, okay.
Representative Dix.
Well, I have a real problem, and the more I get into what occurs on the bench in different counties when we have leeway allowed, the more problem I have writing legislation here that allows any leeway at all with regard to the bench. And that's a layperson's perspective, and I'm sure that's probably not very pragmatic. But if anything, I'm not certain this goes far enough with regard to instructing the bench on when to allow grandparents' rights to take place or visitation to take place. And I think any time you change a law that is as major a change as this one is, I agree with the chair that we need to move slowly. I think this is perhaps not as conservative as I would be in changing the law, because I would probably place more restrictions and write more restrictions so that the bench would have to carry out the policy of the statute and what the legislature intended, rather than what somebody dreams up in some county as the intention of the legislature. So that's my 2 cents on striking that.
Randy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having slightly more confidence in the bench than Representative Dix, I I'll express my feelings about the step-grandparent. I think that they ought to have the opportunity to petition, because I think there are plenty of instances where if they should legitimately have that right, I guess I have, as I suggested, some faith in the bench to figure out whether or not that desire ought to be granted. The other observation I would make with respect to the language on 19 and 20, where you suggest the grandparent has established or has attempted to establish, I think instead of closing the door, that you really open it up by virtue of that language, because there will be all kinds of attempts that you could say, I had a series of phone calls and wanted to see them on regular Sundays or invited them to come to a summer vacation with us or this, that, or the other thing, and I think maybe you've widened it rather than narrowed it with that language. Established, I think, again, can be something perhaps determined by the bench. Established, ongoing personal contact, maybe we need to know what personal contact, if that is within an eye view of one another, or whether or not that could simply be established by regular telephonic communication. Mm-hmm. If that's all it takes, then it may not be very much in any event.
It would be my intent in having that language there, not to solely limit it to where one would have eyeball-to-eyeball contact, because that certainly could be denied by the natural parents in any case, to make this an impossible requirement or a very difficult requirement.
I wonder,
Representative Bauman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. there are two things that I'm wondering about right now. The first one is whether we don't take care of attempts really by allowing the custodian of the child has denied the grandparent reasonable opportunity to visit the child. The language on lines 21 and 22, which contemplates the possibility that somehow the grandparent both has established personal contact and has been denied visitation. I mean, even though that might be difficult to interpret just on its own, because it's, as you say, it's hard to establish the ongoing personal contact when, as required by the statute, the custodian is denying reasonable opportunity to visit. But I mean, and the other thing that I'm worried about is that whether filing a petition under this statute does not constitute an attempt to establish ongoing personal contact. Every grandparent who is motivated to pursue this is standing in a position of attempting to establish.
Be my view that that's a narrower interpretation of personal contact, meaning attempting to establish contact, indirect communication with that child, rather than some indirect way like petitioning the court in order to get an order. And to speak to your earlier comment about what do you have to do under this section to have a case that should be heard and then determined on the best interest of the child, and that was a problem that the grandparents that were here brought up, was a sub A required establishing ongoing personal contact, while sub B required an additional requirement, was that there was a denial of a reasonable opportunity to visit. That's why the attempt was added at sub A, so that there were two elements one could establish in sub A before they went on to sub B. And I'm sure that grandparent can have established ongoing personal contact and then have the natural parent then deny. And so you could have established it, but the addition by myself of the words attempt was trying to deal with that, well, establishing some minimum standard for these people to establish good cases
to be reviewed in the best interest of the child for the grandparent. And that was the intent of drawing dash six the way I did after hearing from the grandparents. Council.
Well, I would even comment that when Representative Campbell, whose amendment didn't incorporate this type of a standard, when he testified that it was certainly not his intent to allow grandparents who have never shown any interest whatsoever in a child to suddenly have standing, you know, necessarily for visitation. That was not what he was trying to do, that he thought the court would recognize that, that there was a need that they make some kind of effort prior to this.
I don't claim, I don't claim these amendments. I think these are Representative Campbell, Bellamy, and Springer, and everybody else's amendments. They're not far apart. Let's put it that way. I'm not trying to claim them. Bill?
Mr. Chairman, I'm very willing to allow these day six amendments to go to the full committee.
And to make the motion.